We're living in a complete fantasy land. And as I say, the way we think about things produces the products and the marketing and all the rest of it that is shaping the culture that is taking the planet down.
So the first premise is that civilization is not and can never be sustainable. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that any way of living based on the use of non-renewable resources isn't going to last. In fact, it takes anybody but a rocket scientist to figure that one out, generally. And for example, if you have an economy that's based on, I don't know, oil, to choose a random example, and there's a finite amount of oil, eventually you're going to run out. And that way of living will no longer be able to continue. And you would think that if one were reasonably intelligent, that one would begin to ask how one will live when that non-renewable resource is no longer available.
PVR, radio for a greater Fort Collins.
Standing here on a highway turned into a lake, born on this planet that I didn't make. The ice caps are melting, you can measure the rise of the poisoned oceans, hear all the lies of the political pundits and corporate crooks, their accountants and scientists cooking the books with hardly an inkling of what it's about. Wedded to profit in flood and in drought, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here on the bayou, amidst mountains of soil, washed up farmland covered in oil, 1 ton every acre, lost every year, and along with the pesticides, it ends up right here. Millions of miles of chemical wheat, challenging all to try to compete and lay waste to your country like we've done to ours. Let them eat coffee, sugar, coca, and flowers. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. Here in the city, shrouded in smoke, 10 million people this morning awoke to a future of cancer, industrial disease. So let's build some more suburbs and buy SUVs. Cut down the mountains, burn all the coal, and put all the money in a humongous bowl. They'll call it progress and they'll blame it on you to end life as we know it, to enrich the few. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. As I speak to you now from an occupied place, you might call it your home or a terrorist base. They'll send your sons and your daughters to make sure that it's theirs, while they sit in their mansions in plush leather chairs. And everyone's waiting for us to decide. In dust we were born and in dust we reside. Will we realize the commons is to shepherd and share? Here in this war zone called land, water, and air, I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world. I'm talking to you from here at the end of the world.
It's really important to get people to understand here that many people just disregard these arguments out of hand. They say, don't worry about it. Human ingenuity will be sufficient to find substitutes for natural processes, substitutes for natural resources, and therefore concern over the future is ill-founded on ecological grounds. The simple fact is, the richer we get, the more technologically advanced we get, the more we appear to be less dependent on nature, but the real reason is that we simply extend our reach a little further, move a little further into the hinterland to appropriate an ever larger flow of resources.
Look yonder, coming, mercy me. Three wise men in a SUV.
Two things happen as soon as you require the importation of resources. One is that your way of living can never be sustainable. Because if you require the importation of resources, it means that you've denuded the landscape of that particular resource. And as your city grows, and I know resource, nasty word, but I'm just going to use it. So as your city grows, you will denude an ever larger area of that particular resource. It can never be sustainable. And the other thing it means is that your way of life must be based on violence, because if you require the importation of that resource, trade will never be sufficiently reliable. If the people in the next watershed over have that resource and they're not going to trade you for it, if you require it, you're going to take it. And what this means is we could all become wonderful green capitalists, and this way of living would still not be sustainable.
We But it's business as usual.
Dow points today, of course, mostly in the last 18 minutes, become such an insane paradox.
I look at Rasmussen
that
and the
only
IBD
a tips
another
explain it to you. It's basically, if we're in a situation where everyone loves and wants to be in the
stock market, on the
but nobody wants to own
that individual
stock.
He didn't have a great answer.
The eighth premise of the book. The needs of the natural world are more important than the needs of the economic system. Another way to put the eighth premise is, any economic or social system that doesn't benefit the natural communities on which it is based is unsustainable, immoral, and really stupid. Sustainability, morality, and intelligence, as well as justice, requires the dismantling of any such economic or social system, or at the very least disallowing it from damaging your land base. This isn't a premise, but this is something but it has become increasingly clear to me that the only measure by which we will be judged will be the state in which we leave the natural world. People who come after, the human people who come after, are not going to care about whether we were, whether we voted or did not. They're not going to care about whether we signed petitions or we didn't sign petitions. They're not going to care about whether we were violent or nonviolent. They're going to not care whether we took down dams or didn't take down dams. They're not going to care about whether we designed groovy eco-villages or whether we came up with this wonderful eco-socialist utopia with free love all around. What they're going to care about is whether they can drink the water and whether they can eat the food and whether they have a land to live on. Thanks. That's the one measure by which all generations of people have been measured by those who come after.
No more walks in the wood. The trees have all been cut down. And where once they stood, now even a wagon rut appears along the path. Low brush is taking over. No more walks in the wood. This is the aftermath of afternoons in the clover field. Where we once made love, then wandered home together. Where the trees arched above. Where we made our own weather. When branches were the sky. Gone for good, and you for ill, and I am only a passerby. We and the trees and the way, back from the fields of play, lasted as long as we could. No more walks in the wood.
The second premise of the book is that traditional communities do not often voluntarily give up or sell the resources on which their communities are based until their communities have been destroyed. They also do not willingly allow their land bases to be damaged so that other resources, gold, oil, and so on, can be extracted. It follows that those who want the resources will do what they can to destroy traditional communities. And all of my indigenous friends are saying, yeah, it took you a while to figure this one out, didn't it?
I grew up in the land of houses and rows. I had asthma, that's how it goes. When you're in L.A., there are cars everywhere. See the sky and smell the air. I left home, looked around, trying to find some solid ground. I found life in the northern wood, and I knew that this was good. I saw the dozers, the death machines, tearing apart everything green. Sat in a tree, said if you're taking her down, then you're taking down me. I saw the highways, I saw the mall, I saw the eagle, heard the clarion call. The voices of reason were talking to me, so I burned down a couple of SUVs. 23 years, 23 years. Among the words and the deeds in the war for the West, a chapter was written, and I was the test to shut us all up and drive us apart. all who have life and love in our hearts. The judge did the math, then he did some more. He was a man out to settle a score. An illegal sentence in a stolen land, with life or death in the palm of his hand. 23 years. 23 years. And now here I am, so long behind bars, for trying to breathe in a nation of cars. Sanity jailed and madness in power. Our time it is short, and now is the hour. So may you hide in the darkness, stay safe in the night, find whatever you need to stay in the fight. There's a planet at stake, and that's all I see. And my thoughts will be with you until I am free. In 23 years. 23 years. In 23 years. 23 years.
Fourth premise of the book, and this is one of my favorite ones. This culture is based on a clearly defined and widely accepted, yet often unarticulated hierarchy. Violence done by those higher on the hierarchy to those lower is nearly always transparent, that is, unnoticed. When it is noticed, it's fully rationalized. Violence done by those lower on the hierarchy to those higher is unthinkable, and when it does occur, is met with shock, horror, and the fetishization of the victims.
Earth was dying, if they said this on the news, if they would clarify the picture instead of seeking to confuse. If you could see the ice caps melting, if you could watch the oceans rise, if you could see the consequences right before your eyes. If you knew the kids were dying, if you could look inside the river where their food comes from, filled with cyanide. If you could hear the parents pleading, if they were looking right at you, if you could see the anguish in their hearts. What if you knew? You knew the bombs were falling, if they showed them hit the ground, if you could see the bodies flying, if you could hear the sound, if you could see the rubble where the hospital once stood, if you saw the child's lifeless limbs, would you hold them if you could? If you knew that they were lying every time they spoke, for every laser-guided pinprick there were lives lost in the smoke. If instead of just the generals, they had doctors too to describe the carnage of the cluster bombs, what if you knew? They were saying when they think you cannot hear, if you understood what they do, if for you it was so clear, if you knew they shut down the factory in an economic ruse, if you could kiss the cheek of the child in the sweatshop that made your shoes. Every time we went to war to fight our evil foes, they told you we were really fighting for the good of CEOs. If you could feel the hunger of the many, see the riches of the few, if they told it like it is, what if you knew? You knew that you were living in a huge conspiracy. Would you leave your suburbs, get out of your SUV? Would you hit the streets and fight for all our lives? Would you hold your ground when the stormtroopers arrive? If you knew that the whole planet depended on what you do now, would you take a man with the speed our times allow? If the pundits told the truth for just a week or two and real life was shown on TV, what if you knew?
Sixth premise of the book. This culture is not redeemable. The culture will not undergo any sort of voluntary transformation to a sane and sustainable way of living. If we don't put a halt to it, civilization will continue to immiserate the vast majority of humans and to degrade the planet until it, civilization, and probably the planet, collapses. The effects of this degradation will continue to harm humans and non-humans for a very long time.
Well, paper cups are fun and plastic forks are cool. I like to be on the move. Don't get me wrong. disposable diapers are really great, but my favorite feature of these United States are parking lots and strip malls. Parking lots and strip malls. The world needs more parking lots and strip malls. Well, clear-cut forests make me wanna pray. Get rid of those trees, let in the light of day. And those condos spread out so far and wide. But nothing beats parking lots, strip malls, and the ocean tide. Parking lots and strip malls. Parking lots and strip malls. The world needs more parking lots and strip malls. Well, I love to see those factories making useful stuff. And I go to the Cineplex when life is getting rough. Mickey D's is where I get my rest. But parking lots and strip malls is the place that I love best. Parking lots and strip malls. Parking lots and strip malls. The world needs more parking lots and strip malls. Parking lots and strip malls. Parking lots and strip malls. The world needs more parking lots and strip malls.
North America live in the world's last bliss bubble. Every other place on the planet is overcrowded and deplete. And we only live the way we do because this vast, relatively empty continent, with apologies to the First Nations people, was an inordinate resource warehouse that has sustained Europe and all of us in North America in a material style that has never before been seen on planet Earth. But as I said, we use up all the resources. We are dissipating it as fast as we possibly can without pausing for breath on the growth trajectory that we all think is the norm. So again, that's the truth. Wake up to it, because other people are beginning to see what we've got and want it in places that can't possibly get it. We have created a mythic model that cannot be sustained on this planet. If everyone lived the way we do, we'd need at least 3 and possibly 4 additional Earth-like planets to achieve that sustainably. It cannot happen on this single planet Earth. So we'd better change our ways and project a model to the other 6.5 billion people on this planet that could be sustained. And it's not the one that they're getting from us. We are not radiating the proper message.
Well, I've been to the mountain, been to the well, traveled with a spirit on the road through hell, but I never seen nothing like a material man. He got the mark on his brow, got the hands and the till, likes to motivate the money, likes the way it feels. Money excites him, material man. Oh, material man, your planet's going under. Oh, material man, your deadly days are numbered. Oh, material man.
PVR, Radio for the Grassroots, by the Grassroots.
Missile envy madness, material man. Profit and power, that's the way it's done. Take the third world nations one by one. Use fear as your weapon, material man. Oh, material man, your planet's going under. Oh, material man, your deadly days are numbered. Oh, material man.
Fifth premise of the book. The property of those higher on the hierarchy is more valuable than the lives of those below. It is acceptable for those above to increase the amount of property they control, in everyday language, to make money, by destroying or taking the lives of those below. This is called production. If those below damage the property of those above may kill or otherwise destroy the lives of those below. This is called justice.
The average ecological requirements of a person in this room is somewhere on the order of 7 hectares, something like 17 or 20 acres in that range. The poorest of the poor live on a third of a hectare, just a little less than an acre. On Earth, there are 2 average hectares per capita. So each of us in this room requires 3 to 4 times an equitable share of the global biocapacity to sustain us in the style to which we're accustomed. And despite all of the greening of our economy, this number gets bigger year in and year out as our salaries increase and as technological gizmos fail because of something called the rebound effect. The principal biophysical impact of improvements in technological efficiency is to increase consumption. Counterintuitive, but there it is. Now, the problem is that many countries now, because their populations have such large footprints, live mostly on land and water productivity located outside of their own boundaries. Every country in Europe requires 2 or 3 times the size of its domestic biocapacity to sustain itself. What globalization does has enabled the wealthy countries to extend their footprints into the productive landscapes of other countries and into the global commons. Now, there's 2 evil effects of this. The first is it removes from consciousness our dependence on ecosystems, because we don't even see that we're dependent on our local ecosystems, because we're not. Secondly, since everybody's doing this, it's drawing down the natural capital assets and filling up the sinks all over the planet, so as we blissfully move forward in our consumer lifestyles, we're actually all rising simultaneously to a lowering global ceiling of the true limits to growth. So one planet living would be living within the productive capacity of Earth, and if we did that, we'd have to reduce our footprints to 2 hectares per capita from the current roughly 7. But we're not doing that. Population is increasing. Per capita consumption is increasing even faster. So there's an accelerating upslope in terms of overall demand. This is now in exceedance of carrying capacity, we estimate, by about 30% on a global basis, which means that we are beginning to deplete the natural capital, the productive fisheries, forests, soils that we need to sustain future consumption. Even as we're in this state of overshoot, the productivity of the landscape is declining, and hence we're eroding our future prospects.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes, and true currents in thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees, strong ozone and safe sunshine. Good planets are what? Hard to find. Good planets are in demand. Clean beaches and sparkling sands, and the land masses, room to spare. That's good, yeah. Jet streams and perfect air. High forests and low wetlands are good planets are in demand. And the mind don't know, and the heart can't see. Let the blind man go to his destiny. Yeah, good planets are rare indeed. Rain falling on crops and seed, big rivers and good topsoil, fuel sources from cane to oil, green garden of all that we need. Good planets are rare indeed.
Seventh premise. The longer we wait for civilization to crash, or the longer we wait before we ourselves bring it down, the messier will be the crash, and the worse things will be for those humans and non-humans who live during it and for those who come after.
The CIA is pushing crack in the ghettos of LA, while the food crops in Colombia get sprayed by the DEA. The FBI is reading your email with something called the carnivore, while the rich are getting richer and the poor are staying poor. They're launching nuclear-powered ships up into space. One little accident could wipe out half the human race. They're putting radioactive waste into your silverware, or maybe your toaster, or perhaps your wheelchair. The Air Force is bombing Iraq every other day. They don't like the government, so the children have to pay. And the ozone hole is growing, the sheep are going blind, while the U.S. spends more on arms than the rest of the world combined. Journalists are getting fired from San Jose to Atlanta when they write about reality, not a fluff piece for Fanta. A death threat every week, and sometimes life is short when the truth is too dangerous for someone to report. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? The cancer rates are skyrocketing, though people are smoking less. If you live near a nuke, your life is bound to be a mess. Clean water's almost gone all over the earth, and what's left they want to privatize and see how much it's worth. Chevron is gunning down the students of Nigeria, turning the land to waste while the babies die of diphtheria. And the temperatures are rising, the world's forests are on fire. Pretty soon Brazil will be one raging funeral pyre. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times?
Wow.
One in three adult Americans cannot read or write, and their children go to bed hungry every night. 2 million U.S. citizens are rotting behind bars, and while they're there, they're working hard building parts for cars. The Army's running torture schools to keep the earth under control, and they're relocating Navajos so they can mine some extra coal. Our taxes pay McDonald's to sell tumors in Shanghai, while 100,000 poison vets are just about to die. And who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? And the people are resisting wherever you may go, and this is the single biggest fact they don't want you to know. From New Delhi to New Mexico, there are battles going on, and the darkest hour is just before the dawn. In Berkeley and New York, they're raiding radio stations, trying to turn the voice of the people into the voice of the corporations. Will we seize the airwaves, wipe the sweat off of our brow, stand and face the beast and shout democracy now? Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? That we're living in these times? That we're living in these times.
The bottom line is that if, let's say, if the climate change scenarios are correct, if peak oil is true, there will be, in the lifetimes of many of you in this room, hundreds of millions, if not billions, of refugees on this planet seeking out the best places to go. And they will come, whether we like it or not, by any means possible. And by the way, that includes Americans coming up here to get our energy and everything else that we need to sustain what's left of the United States. Because if the 3 and 4 degree warming scenario, which is now being commonly accepted, it's the most recent study out of Hadley just this week, takes place, then one half of the United States is uninhabitable by the latter part of this century. And that means 200 million people looking for somewhere else to go.
Climate's changing, it ain't no joke. Log trucks, rolling plants, pumping out smoke. Dried up soil on the clear-cut hills. Kids on the streets popping amphetamine pills. The smog's hanging over your head. They say pretty soon we could all be dead, 'cause it's changing. The climate's changing despite the claims. Toxic waste and acid rain. Empty rivers, clear as day. Dead zone floating in the Chesapeake Bay. The oxygen is low. There's a great shellfish bay a while ago, but it's changing. Climate's changing, it's happening fast. Clouds of dioxin and chlorine gas. Chemical spills and oil slicks. Corporate profit politics. Abnormal rates of cancer. Babies being born with asthma, 'cause it's changing. Climate's changing, you can't say it's not. Look at the Crossroads Strip, mine mountaintops. The company's got a big bag of tricks. Sitting high above sea level, far from risk. The water's rising up. Pretty soon it might just swallow us, 'cause it's changing. The climate's changing, what you gonna do? Keep your eyes shut, just sit it through. Hope you don't live to see the day when the big one hits, like the scientists say. Well, we better change our ways, or we might as well just be digging our graves, 'cause it's changing.
I ask people all over the country, do you believe that our culture is going to undergo a voluntary transformation to a sane and sustainable way of living? And the answer is the same as at least a couple people in the front row with chuckles. Oftentimes people laugh out loud. It's absurd. And one time, one of my talks, one guy raised his hand, everybody looked at him, and he said, oh, voluntary. No, of course not. And the next question is, if you don't believe that the culture is going to go undergo a voluntary transformation to a sane and sustainable way of living, what does that mean for your strategy and for your tactics? And the answer is we don't know. And one of the reasons we don't know is because we don't talk about it. One of the reasons we don't talk about it is because we're all so busy pretending that we have hope.
The cry is out. The earth is getting hotter without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto the Father who lives within. The ego you have to tame. Survival is definitely for the fittest. It's not for who get the money or the fame the quickest. Just according to your actions and the way you live it. That is how the Most High I go give it. The sea level is rising, watch the table I turn. Plus the ring of fire around the coastal regions will burn. Check the kind of food you eat and type of drinks you consume. Listen up to the lyrics in the tune. Microorganisms are getting replaced. From the mountain to the sea, it is a different age. It's a time of revelation prophesied by the sage. The surge is the reason why you are made. The heat beneath the ocean, it to bring a hurricane. Attitude inside of people out of context and lame. It's the signs of the times, so what surprising news. Things are occurring in sets of twos. Global warming, the cry is out. The earth is getting hotter without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto Selassie, I will live within. The ego you have to tame. The hotter the earth, the more bacteria spread. Many more will have to suffer, plenty more are good dead. In the present and the future, enough dramatic events. Purification time is so intense. Trucks will not be able to get supplies to you. It's so obvious, my people, you must grow your own food. Don't depend upon the system, you'll end up getting screwed. This a one, yeah, for sure it is for true. People must experience a radical shift, so they know living in low bit is a heavenly gift. In comedic history, have them things written in it. Out of dirt consciousness, me I dig it. Yo, amazing to the people is the works of the king. Once you disobey in principle, your neck a go ring. Love your neighbor as yourself and love the natural living. So it was in the beginning. Global warming, the cry is out. The earth is getting hotter without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto the Father who lives within. The ego you have to tame. A long time we want them to stop the pollution. Now them a scramble for solution. Our climate has been through too much alteration. With government misinformation. The greenhouse gases like HFC. And the greenhouse gases like PFC. Are so highly generated in variety. Brought about by this industrial society. So tap into the liquid diet. Just try it. Experiment the raw food life. It's so nice. Ingest organic. Don't panic. Judge, I want it. The trees produce the energy. Foods of all types. Tap into the fine art of fasting. Everlasting. Experiment the life of clean air and sunshine. Ingest what's better. Do better for your structure. The earth produce the fruits and the grains with enzymes. Global warming. The cry is out. The earth is getting hotter without a doubt. The glaciers are melting in the north and south. Our lives are about to change. There is only one way to survive this. You got to purify your body, get rid of toxins. Pray unto Selassie, I will live within. The ego you have to tame.
I want to suggest that this attitude, this techno-fix approach, the can-do attitude has led us astray. Most approaches to climate change, global change in general, such as renewable energy, hybrid cars, green buildings, smart growth, new urbanism, green consumerism, a very long list, are delusional. They do not take into account the science in any significantly important transformative way. They assume we can maintain growth through greater material and energy efficiency. It's really the status quo by other technological means. Now, here is really the key to what I'm getting at here. What the science says is that we need an absolute reduction in energy and material throughput in our economy of about 80% by mid-century to avoid catastrophic climate change. So you can accept it or not. It's probably safer to accept it if it's even marginally true. I'm going to assume it is true for the sake of argument. So the bottom line is that whatever you're doing, if we need that 80% of reduction, if your solution, if where you are working, does not result in an absolute reduction in energy and material use in your community, in your building, or whatever, then you're not on track. You're not part of the solution. You're really contributing more to the problem.
Tick, tick, tick. Climate change is having a real impact on the lives of individuals and communities around the world. We must do something about it. In December in Copenhagen, our leaders will have an opportunity to come up with a robust post-climate agreement that is viable and will help make this planet a better place.
When our earth is turning, how do we sleep while our beds are burning? How can we dance when our earth is turning?
How can we dance? How can we dance?
How do we sleep while our beds are burning?
The time has come to take a stand.
Timbuktu,
Lovely village lives and breathes, and fight they breathe.
The time has come.
How do we sleep while our beds are burning?
I support the campaign for climate justice, and I am pleased to become a climate ally. This is your campaign.
Sing the song for the wrong and the wicked and the strong and the sick as thick as thieves. For the faceless fear that was never so near, too clear to misbelieve. Well, the sea is jumping salty and the porpoise has the blues. My recollection's faulty and I cannot find my shoes. And my wiring is misfiring due to cigarettes and booze. I'm behind in my dues. I just now got the news. He seems to tell us lies, and still we will believe him then. Together he will lead us into darkness, my friends. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. The man says, stand to one side, son. We got to keep the big ball rolling. It's just a question of controlling for whom the bell is tolling. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. But there'll be suffering and starvation in the streets, young man. Well, just where have you been, old man? Just look out of your window, man. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Well, it ain't nobody's fault but our own. Still, at least we might could show the good sense to know when we've been wrong. And it's already taken far too long now, yeah. So we bring it to a stop, then we take it from the top. We let it settle on down softly, like you're gently falling snow. Or let it tumble down and topple like the temple long ago. But let it fall down, let it fall down, let it fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. I keep hollering, timber, timber. I hope it don't fall on me. I'm hollering, timber, whoa, timber. Let it all fall down. Well, let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Together, let it fall down, let it fall down, let it all fall down. Let it fall down, let it fall down.
PVR, radio for discriminating minds.